What's up, y'all?
My future isn't determined by where I currently reside. Understanding your worth will put pride in your stride. I'm accountable to my call. There's no compromise. I set my own bar, and you better know it's set high.
It's giving what it's supposed to give. Ooh, stop playing with them.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Deshari. Welcome back to another episode of It's a Perspective, a show dedicated to uncovering different perspectives through dope conversation. Today, we have a special guest. He is a luxury concierge host, entrepreneur, content creator, and much more. He has over a decade's experience in nightlife and hospitality as he was a former bodyguard. He curates VIP experiences to clients through luxury transportation, executive protection, and itinerary coordination. If that wasn't enough, he has made a name for himself through media marketing. He has a podcast called Convos with Bishops and The Lab Podcast. He is doing his absolute thing, and I am personally excited to dive into this conversation and gain more knowledge about an industry I don't hear about much. You know, the people around me, I feel like we don't hear about this industry a lot. So let's get into this conversation. Please welcome Mr. Marvel Bishop. Hey, hey, hey.
How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's funny because that was actually probably the best intro I've ever had. I don't have the lab podcast, but I do appreciate for you doing your research. So that's, you know, I can't get mad at that.
Yeah. Well, you have Convos with Bishop. I feel like you have another podcast though. You have something.
Yeah, we used to do a podcast. It was a black men's podcast called The Really Cool Gents on the VCB network. We're taking a little bit of a hiatus right now due to unforeseen circumstances, but it's all good. You know, we'll probably get back to it. Maybe later this year, maybe next year, we'll see. But you know, we're definitely focusing on individual endeavors right now. So,
okay, gotcha. Okay, so I want to start off with That's My Jam. This is a segment of the show where you can play a song that's your mantra or a song you can't resist jamming, dancing, or singing to. So, what you got for us?
So the song that I picked is actually from 50 Cent, "Get Rich or Die Trying," which is Poor Little Rich. Uh-huh. I'm a little older, which is kind of crazy to say, because usually growing up I'm always the younger one. Uh-huh. But now I'm actually becoming the OG right now. So
Right.
Get Rich or Die Trying came out in 2003. That was the same year, I think, the rookie year of LeBron James as well. Crazy. Okay. Poor Little Rich, I mean, I love Get Rich or Die Trying in this itself. Honestly, it brings me like a lot of nostalgia growing up in New York. Originally from New York, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know. It just brings me into a mindset of like a go-getter mentality and just, you know, having, you know, a mindset of like, I got to go get what I need to get no matter what. It's a hype song as well, too. Like, as you listen to it, like, you know, the first two or three, you know, drops. It just gets you going. So I listen to that a lot. I listen to that a lot. So,
yeah. Okay. Well, let's get into his jam.
I let my watch talk for me, my whip talk for me, my gat talk for me. Bam! What up, homie? My watch saying hi, shorty, we could be friends.
Hey, yo, now I see why you listen to that song. Like you said, you normally the youngest one, but I'm young here. When that came out, I was like one or three or whenever it came out.
What year were you born?
I was born in 99.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, I got it. Oh boy, I got 13 years on you, so.
Song is definitely a bop. If y'all haven't heard it, shame on you, because it's been over 20 years. But Poor Little Rich by 50 Cent, go check that out wherever you are streaming your music. So, let's get into this conversation. Who is Marvel, for those who don't know?
Marvel Bishop is a entrepreneur, a leader of his tribe, mentor, loves to give knowledge and education also to people who want it as well. I love to bestow education to people. A kind person, a kind man,
right?
A man's man, absolutely. I'm definitely for my men as well. And I'm for the people. I'm a servant, you know. That's one. That's like my biggest, I think my biggest attribute is me being a servant to the people, you know, through my companies and just through for what I do.
Yeah, that's what's up. I feel like that, like you just said, falls straight in line to what you are doing right now. So since we're talking about service, you have a luxury and concierge business. Take us back to the beginning of that when you were building, and then we can dive into the success that you're having right now.
Yeah. All right. So, like I said, well, I'm originally from New York, came here in Miami in 2009. Okay. I went to university, FIU, went to FIU.
Okay.
And I was actually doing photography and video. So I was doing a lot of content for sororities, fraternities, you know, departments, you know, all those different types of.
Shout out to my B9, SG Row in the building.
Oh, SG Row. Okay. That's what's up. Okay. I did a couple things with them. You know what I'm saying? Okay. That's what's up. That's what's up. No, I got mad love for them as well. Yeah, so I was doing that. And while I was doing the content and I was actually providing, you know, another level of service, honestly, to different organizations, it got to the point where I wasn't really necessarily making enough money. Okay. It got to the point where I was like, you know what? I got to find like a different stream of income. I got to find something to be able to make ends meet. So my, I guess my colleague, like, so, oh, that was a part of another frat. He, his name is Jonathan Medical.
Okay.
And I had to actually contact him because he was actually doing security at Live at the time for, you know, David Grubman, who owns basically half of Miami. Wow. He is the founder of Groot Hospitality as now, but back then it was called Miami Marketing Group, MMG.
Okay.
And not Maybach Music Group. A lot of people, when I say MMG, people think I think about Maybach Music Group, but no, it's not. It's Miami Marketing Group. And okay. I came up to him, I was like, yo, bro, like, you know, I'm trying to be my own man. I actually got my aunt that actually raised me to cut me off because okay. I wanted to become my own man and to get on my own 2 feet and to really fully, you know, provide for myself.
Okay.
And I told John, I was like, yo, man, like, I need a job. Like, what can you do for me? Can I work? Can you work? Can you take me at Live? And he's like, nah, I can't take you at Live, but give me 1 second. So like 5 or 10 minutes later, he's like, look, I need you to go to Story. So Story was one of the clubs of the sister clubs of Live. It's closed now, but this is back in 2012. I had to go there at Christmas Day. Whoa. And meet up with, Christmas Day because they were opening up the day after.
Okay.
So, so I met up with, two of my bosses, the head of security and the assistant head of security, Jay Pink and Patrick Fleming. And yeah, John pretty much put me on. He was like, yo, listen, go there, kill the interview. And remember, just don't embarrass me. And as soon as I walked up in there and Christmas Day, I had a quick conversation. I guess they like what they saw because I am 6'11". I was 400 at the time, but now I'm, you know, leaning up. So I'm 443 right now. So they're like, now you're hired. Boom. And the interesting part is it wasn't necessarily where I was working, which is definitely a big, big factor. Mm-hmm. But where I was actually put at, because right. I did not have a jacket at the time. So you need to have a suit jacket to be able to become the VIP security guards on the dance floor, taking care of the VIPs.
Okay.
But I couldn't find a suit jacket at that time. So what they did was they put me in the back of the DJ booth.
Okay.
And what that did for me was actually meeting up with all of the the super, super VIPs, like if you know type of people.
Yeah.
You know, like the Tyson Beckfords. I met all the owners as well, too.
Yeah.
Diana Ross's grandson, son, I believe, Elliot Ross. You know, yeah, I met a whole bunch of different movers and shakers that really, you know, elevated my, or I always say like accelerated my network, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So I worked there for about 6 months, got my suit jacket, and then I got onto the dance floor. And then I worked there for about 4 to 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So after that, I met up with my first client, Troy Gibson. Shout out to Troy Gibson. Always shout him out. He's actually my first bodyguarding client that I took care of. He's originally from Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah. So I ran.
Before, Before you continue with your story, I kind of want to talk about, because remember that thought, because we're going to jump back into it, but
okay.
I kind of want to talk about how you are meeting all of these people and how that is starting to build your, I guess, comfortability in the industry to now become thinking about wanting to be in the luxury concierge business, not necessarily a bodyguard.
Well, here's the thing. At that point, I wasn't thinking about being a luxury concierge host. I was just like security mode.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, I had no type of like feels or any type of aspiration to become a luxury concierge host at the time. I just wanted to be a security guard at that time. And then I didn't really necessarily think about even like becoming an entrepreneur back then. Up until I met Troy Gibson.
Oh,
if that makes sense.
Okay.
So I met Troy Gibson, and then when I took care of him at Story, then after that, then I went to this club called 11. It's an ultra club. So it's a strip club, it's a restaurant, and it's a nightclub at the same time. So it's called an ultra club, all three in one. And I ran into the same client I took care of Troy at 11. And we were just talking for a little bit. It's like, yeah, you took care of me a story. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, yeah. So he's like, you know, you should be my bodyguard. And right. I hear that all the time, like literally all the time. And I was like, yo, I'll work for you right now. What's up?
Right.
And he took out Wada hundreds. He had 10 bands on him. He pulled out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Give me $500. And the rest was history. So I started traveling with him to back to Atlanta where he lived, because you know, wherever he needed anything, went with him to New Orleans, went to, you know, Baton Rouge, I went to Las Vegas with him. I went a lot of places with him throughout those years that got me into, you know, really, really taking care of him. And so fast forward to kind of answer your question. So when I was taking care of another client, I met this guy taking care of him for a long time. I was at this dinner party and he was, you know, talking to me and everything else too. And he's like, look, man, you know, I love what you do. I love how you secure me and everything as well. But honestly, like the main reason why I use you is not only for your size, but it's also because your vernacular, because of who you are, because you're personal, because you're personable. People gravitate towards you. Like you're a magnet, and like you have this thing about you about being hospitable.
Right.
I was like, yeah, that's true. And he was like, well, you know, have you ever thought about taking your business to the next level? Mm. And I was like, what do you mean take it to the next level? Like, I'm just a bodyguard. He's like, nah, man. Like, I think you should probably look into this. Have you ever thought about becoming a concierge host? And I was like, no, not at all. I don't even know what that is. Yeah, like, I was like, I had no idea. It's like, no, man. Like, you have the ability to really have a company where you can actually take care of people from an encompassing standpoint, like 360 degrees, taking care of everything for like the yachts, the cars, the villas, the reservations, you know, the VIP access, also the private security as well too, but the transportation, the sprinters, you know, the SUVs, the exotic cars, you know, like providing that whole entire lifestyle while preparing for, you know, while still doing logistics for them.
Yeah.
And I looked at it, I was like, okay, that sounds actually pretty interesting. And I looked into it, I was like, yo, I can definitely do this.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of trials and tribulations, honestly, with actually, you know, doing it, because going from a bodyguard to a concierge host was extremely difficult. So.
Yeah. That makes sense. So over the years, like, how did you... So in that time, you say you worked at Story for how long? Was that open? 5-6 years?
No. Well, it was open until a couple months ago, but I worked there for about 5 years.
5 years. Okay. And yes. So you became, you know, a personal bodyguard. So you started traveling with different clients, right?
Yeah.
So how did your preparation, because I know the business that you're in is about networking and connections. How did that, you know, help you to elevate to what a luxury concierge business is now, because you have to have the clients to keep the business open, right?
Yeah. What I always say is that you always have to eat what you kill. If you don't produce and if you don't get clients, you don't convert them into clients, you're not going to make money, especially if you don't, like, I don't have a job. I haven't had a job since 2015, ever since I worked at Story.
Wow.
So everything. Yeah. So everything is, you know, is on me to be able to provide for not only for myself, but also for my tribe and for my, you know, the people who work for me and, you know, also my business partners. And I would say that one of the things that definitely helped me out was, is like the constant communication and just building that rapport with different relationships throughout when I was in Story up until now.
Got it.
You know, I would say that the biggest thing when it comes to concierge is not necessarily only serving them, but it's also looking in from the outside in and also, you know, keeping that constant communication with them and nurturing that relationship. Because this is a dog eat dog world when it comes to anything, but especially when it comes to the nightlife and hospitality industry in a concierge realm. Everybody's a concierge host. Everybody's a broker. Everybody has access to yachts. Everybody has access to this, access to that. But how do you differentiate yourself through from the pack? It's through your uniqueness and your personality. So I've always said it's not necessarily about being better. It's about being unique.
Yeah.
So does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It makes sense. I feel like that translates to so many other different, you know, industries and stuff, but definitely for yours. But how do you differentiate yourself? That's good. So you made a statement saying, dive into your strengths and fill in your weaknesses. How does that look for people building their businesses or even themselves? Because you said you're on a weight loss journey. How do you dive into your strengths and fill in your weaknesses?
Well, for me, with I had to commit to myself for 2023 to myself. I had to get to a level or start reaching to a level of I have to put myself first, mind, body, and spirit to be able to serve more people. Like, you can't serve from an empty cup. And how do you do that? You have to find other people who are actually great at what you're trying to achieve. So what did I do? I got a meal prep company, so I don't have to think about cooking and all that. So I did that. Shout out to Ron Zabadi. He's been my trainer for about 4 or 5 months. I've been working out with him 5 to 6 times a week and just trusting into him. I have a therapist as well, mental health therapist that I've been going back and forth, but I'm actually going back recently. I've just been so busy, but like, you know, just professionals to be able to help me out in all aspects, if that makes sense.
Right.
And then also too, you know, having mentors is so, so important in every aspect of your life, you know, not just business, but also personal too. Just like, you know, you got to have people, you definitely have to have people that are obviously, you know, better than you, but there's 3 different levels of what I've actually just learned, which you have to have people who are on your level, who are quote unquote below your level and above your level. So I have this theory that's called the monkey in the middle. So like when you're always in the middle, you're never ever too great for somebody and you're never ever too little for somebody. So you're able to see from the below about like, okay, this is where I came up from. And then I have somebody in my level as far as like having a competition. And then I have somebody above, like, okay, I still got to do some work.
Yeah.
And that keeps you in constant level of competition and non-complacency.
That's good.
Yeah.
That is really good. I think what that made me think about is, you know, people were in uproar whenever they heard how much LeBron spends on his body. I just think that it's super
$1 million a year. $1 million a year.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you have to put as much into your business as you are into yourself. My slogan being change your mind to change your life, but also pour into yourself just as much as you're pouring into the thing that you're trying to be successful at or are successful at. So I think that's really, really good. So we were talking about your transition from, you being from New York. I want to learn more about your transition from New York to Miami because it's 2 big cities, but 2 separate vibes and hustles. So talk to us a little bit about that.
So I would say this, I'll be the full transparency. So I am from the suburbs. I'm from Long Island, but I definitely did have some family members in all the boroughs, you know, Brooklyn, Queens, Bronx, Harlem, all those spots. And what I will say is that there is a level of urgency when it comes to living in New York, even in the suburbs. It's kind of weird. Like the feel and the energy from the city actually transitions into the suburbs, especially people who actually live actually in the suburbs and actually work at the city. And that's a big difference, I think, when it comes to Miami. Like, there's a lot of like Miami, the only thing that we have right now, honestly, is like, you know, it's rainy season during the season and during summer, which is like, you know, hurricane season. But other than that, like, we have amazing weather.
Yeah.
In New York, it is crazy as far as cold from like November to like March. So you know, New York is a concrete jungle, just to say the least, you know.
Where dreams are made of. You said a concrete jungle. I said where dreams are made of.
Where dreams are made of. Yeah, exactly. So I do think because of the different elements, the different weather elements, it brings in a certain level of hustle and a certain level of a mindset that Miami doesn't necessarily have. Back then, I would say, when I first moved there in 2009, now a whole bunch of New Yorkers and a whole bunch of New Northerners have moved here to Miami. So the mentality is starting to migrate here just a little bit. But because it's a sunshine state, everybody has this mindset of like, oh, vacation, you know, no, let me go to the beach.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of like the difference right there, where it's like the hustle mentality is definitely a little bit different. We got some hustles here. Don't get it twisted. We definitely do. Yeah. But it's you definitely have like a disparaging difference.
You feel like that's where you get an advantage over the other people because you have.
Yes. Facts. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I don't really go to the beach, to be honest with you. I don't really care for the beach. I don't really care for the water. I care for the sun. I just care for not being in the cold. That's just me. So, you know, And honestly, I have literally made a living, or making a living, I should say, where people come to vacate where I live.
Yeah.
And that's the secret sauce, I think. You know, if you want to live here in Miami, like, you got to get in some type of hospitality. You got to get into some type of nightlife as well, maybe even tech, you know what I'm saying? It's pretty good.
Okay, so you're saying if you want to come to a city like Miami, you have to get into something that, you know, is a business that will move you forward. I'm saying because I want to know what you meant when you say you build planes in the air.
Yo, you're like the fifth person who asked me that this week.
Yeah.
Okay, so now, disclaimer, entrepreneurs, I'm not saying that this is the wisest the wisest way of like doing things. I'm not saying that whatsoever. However, how I operate, which is my nature, but I do have great business partners that actually definitely put the plane on the ground before we can build it. But for me, I operate very well in chaos. And I think the reason why I operate well in chaos is because where I come from, which is from story, and working in nightlife, where you have to be able to organize, work in organized chaos, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah.
You know, like, I'm just a person where, like, you know, if I have to just go get it, I'm just gonna go get it, and then we gonna figure out everything else afterwards. Like. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need necessarily a business plan. I don't really need, you know, to have the perfect setup. I just go out and just get it. And then we can just freaking figure it out, you know, while we go. So that's like the definition of me building planes in the air.
But I feel like that is something that I hear from a lot of entrepreneurs. Like, I know it's not the best to do in a lot of scenarios, but I feel like if you don't do it, do you receive the level of success that you want to receive?
I don't know if it's really the level of success, but it's the progression. The
lessons that you
know. The progression. It's really the progression. It's the progression of like, okay, we got to start somewhere and just do our thing and, you know, just start.
Yeah.
I think that's where I really, really succeed in. I just go and I figure out the stuff later. Like, a lot of people, they get paralysis by analysis, where they become so stuck in their ideas, and then by the time they want to do it, it's literally 6 months later. Like, I don't have time for that. Like, people like, people really walk, like, I'm sorry, I'm about to get like on my like my preacher moment right now, I'm sorry, but people really walk around like they really got nine lives.
yeah
Like, they really have 9 lives. Like, they're literally going to be here forever.
Yeah.
And that's not the case. Like, that's not the case whatsoever. Like, I don't get it.
We're
like, oh yeah, I got tomorrow. Okay, yeah, I got next year. Oh, I got next month. But do you? Do you really have till tomorrow? Yeah. I may not have, no, real talk, as you know, knock on wood, God forbid, yeah. I may not have today.
Man.
I may not have today. I may drop dead today.
You better speak.
So, hey, if that's the case, if I know for sure that yesterday is gone forever, tomorrow is yet to be, then why don't we act upon as if tomorrow is yet to be? And yeah. We do act like tomorrow's promised. Why do we do that?
Man, I don't know. I think it's our free will. And I say that in the government standpoint, and I say it, I don't know if you're spiritual or not, but
I am.
In the standpoint of, you know, God, he gives us free will. So the ability to say, yeah, I can wait. Yeah, I can get it done, but I'm just going to wait. I think that is what is tearing us up in this life. And I think that's why most people who have brilliant ideas don't ever get them done, because of the free will of being where they are now, or the comfortability of having the 9 to 5, or let's not, you know, I don't want to drag the 9 to 5ers because we need
we need them. Sorry, that's another thing too. We can't be doing that. I'm not one of these entrepreneurs I can't curse, right? Can I curse?
You can cuss.
Okay, yeah. I'm not one of these entrepreneurs that be shitting on 9 to 5ers. We need them. Everybody can be an entrepreneur. Not everybody can be an owner or a founder or a CEO of a company. We need the hard workers to be able to, because that's what drives the businesses.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, like, it's all good.
Yeah. But if you are going to be an entrepreneur, if you are going to put your whole, you know, foot into that pool, then you have to listen to what Marvel just said. You have to go and get it, and maybe build your plane in the air. You know, you can't always sit on the gifts. And I'm going back to God and spirituality. And if you guys believe in that, be obedient now, because if God gave it to you right now, be obedient now and listen to him right now. Not when you get ready, but right now.
Yeah. Quick disclaimer. I quit story with like close to $20,000 in debt and no savings. So that's honestly like the definition of building a plane in the air. Yeah. Now that's not the wise thing to do. Hey, listen,
Hold on, you can't just drop that bomb on us and not take us through the story. Okay, so you quit with $20,000 in debt. How did you dig?
Give or take.
How did you dig yourself out of that hole?
I don't even know where to begin, honestly, because number one, I was living by myself. I was living with my mom. Okay. And I had a great support with my aunt and everything else too. I just really got into a mode of cutting down my expenses and really only focusing and paying things that I need and not that I wanted. And that was a lot of sacrifice as well too, because I wanted to go out. I wanted to take girls on dates. I wanted to do all that stuff. And I didn't. I didn't for a very, 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 very long time, because I wasn't really necessarily in a position to do that. Because what happens is I think the problem is when people want to take a leap of faith and they want to do entrepreneurship, they want to have their cake and eat it too.
They want to
make all the money. They want to do all that, but they won't really sacrifice as far as like cutting down your expenses, making sure that you're not spending as much. It's not really about how much money you make. It's about how much money you keep. They still want to, you know, go out to eat and like, you know, floss in any way they can, if that makes sense. And, you know, like think that they always have like a check that's coming, especially in the beginning. Even now, I said, I have to eat what I kill. So like now, because of what I'm doing, you know, yes, I traded my 9 to 5 for my 24/7.
Come on.
And people don't understand that. Dashari. Yeah. People do not understand that, but that comes with a lot of sacrifice and a lot of just putting your luxuries away and just focusing on your necessities.
Yeah. Okay, so you had great support system and you did a great job of budgeting. So how did you said you had cut yourself off in the beginning of the episode, you said you cut yourself off from kind of having all of that comfortability. How did
my aunt. I cut my aunt off. Yeah.
Yeah. How did you transition that, to where you are now? Because I'm sure you are now living alone, because you're successful in your business. I don't know if this is in the timeline, but you said you were in $20,000 a day. You had a great support system, but there's a transition where you say you cut your aunt off, or I don't know if you.
Well, that was before. That was before.
Okay.
That was in 2012. So when I cut her off, or have her cut me off, and then I worked that story up until 2016.
Okay.
Then after that, when I was working and everything else to that story, I wanted to own my own business and do my own thing. But okay, I was in debt.
Where do you keep? So you go and work a 9-to-5, or how do you? Because you have stability, but in that time, I just want to get the range, because I think when people are thinking about success, they think about overnight success. And I want to take them on this journey where you say you were in roundabout way of $20,000 in debt, but you had a great support system. How did you get over that hump to where you are now? Because like I said, I'm sure you live alone and you have your bills and stuff now, but you are successful in your business, whereas before you were building.
Yeah, I definitely do think it takes a tribe. Not only to raise a kid, but also to be successful. So for other people that were seeing that I wanted to actually make the sacrifice, they were willing to make the sacrifice for me as well too. Mm-hmm. Like I was living with my family, you know what I'm saying? And we were in a one bedroom apartment with like 2 to 3 people, you know what I'm saying? That was the way. Like, yes, I was an entrepreneur. But like, I wasn't really at the point where like, okay, yeah, I have a high rise and I'm living in Brickell.
Yeah.
So I would say support, like the transition definitely helped as far as like the support, the guidance. Uh-huh. And honestly, there's really no secret to it really. It's just like, it is the hard work, but also too, like just managing your finances and seeing where it goes.
Okay.
And making sure that it goes to all necessities and not luxuries. That's the catch.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll say this. Because people burn the candle at both ends.
And expecting it.
That's what they do. They like I said before, like, they want to live the entrepreneur life, but you're really only bringing in $5,000, maybe $4,000 a month. Mm. And you can actually live off of that. You just have to cut down your expenses and humble yourself. To be able to put yourself in a position to live that luxury lifestyle within the future. But a lot of people don't. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. So if y'all are trying to get into this entrepreneurship journey, if you're trying to get into hospitality, listen to what he said. Cut down your expenses. If you're making the amount of money that is suitable for your living, cut down your expenses until you can get to where you can make more money now. Okay, Go ahead.
So if I'm gonna go real quick, like let me give you a quick example. So I actually had a conversation with another colleague that does concierge/promoting, right?
Okay.
And he's like, yeah, man, I don't really make enough money. And I'm like, bro, what do you mean you don't make enough money? No, I really don't make enough money. So like I said, it's not about how much money you make, Dashari, it's about how much money you keep. Right. So I'm not a financial guru, I'm not whatsoever, but I'm learning as I go, as far as like, just keeping, my finances ahead of everything and just being smart. So I'm like, okay. So he had a Starbucks cup in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, how much money do you spend a day on, spend every week on Starbucks? Oh, I don't know. Maybe about 3 to 4 times a week. Okay. So how much money do you spend per day? Oh, about $4 to $6, maybe 7. I was like, you know what? Let's do 6. So I literally pulled out my phone, right? So I was like, okay. It's like, yeah. I go 4 times a week, right? Spending $6.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm like, okay. So 6 times 4 is 24. And you go there every week. I was like, okay, x4. And then I was like, yo, you're literally spending almost $100 a month within the time frame of maybe 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Where you can actually buy a coffee machine, right?
Yeah.
For just about this much, which is 96, and be able to save that much money if you really, really need coffee.
Yeah.
And let's not even talk about food. Let's not even talk about DoorDash. Let's not even talk about Uber Eats. It adds up. It really does.
Yeah. And then doing the little things that you want to do throughout the day or throughout the week. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I told them, I was like, yo, okay, so that $96 a month, hey, that could have went towards maybe you learning a course or something. You know what I'm saying? That could have been towards your knowledge, towards your education, towards your business that you want to build.
Yeah. It's being accountable to what you are doing in the now. If you're not being accountable to what you're doing, you will never get to, you know, the amount of money that you want to reach. Because like you said, if you're not making the money that you want to make right now, even though it's sufficient for your living, you have to take the money that you're using in a different area and take it in a place where you can benefit off of it. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That's good. That is really, really good. So you said to be truly successful, you have to master the art of delegation. Walk me through mastering the art of delegation.
So this brings my point of what you actually just said, your point, what you're saying, as far as like diving into my strengths and filling in my weaknesses.
Right.
As far as people want to do hobbies, but they don't necessarily want to build successful businesses. Mm. What I mean by that is that they want to be able to control everything, but they don't want to necessarily let go to the point of actually sitting back and actually delegating. So what I do is that, okay, so what am I great at? I'm great at meeting people. I'm great at people gravitating towards me. I'm great at speaking. I'm great at content creation. I'm great at, you know, sending my message. What am I not so great at? Not so great at accounting, not so great at emails and writing and writing, you know, like, you know, perfect shit. I'm not. Yeah. So what did I do? I have a copywriter.
Yeah.
I have a COO for my company, you know, that runs the operations of BES, of Bishop Executive Services. I also have a CFO that runs all my finances.
Mm.
So that's one of the ways to be able to delegate and do the things that you should be doing and not the things that you're not supposed to be doing, if that makes sense. Now, people have that pushback of like, oh, yeah, hey, Marvel or Bishop, you know, I don't really have the money. Okay, you don't have the money. I do understand that. So what you do is you have to have some type of ROI with the people that you work with. Sometimes you have to give up some type of equity for your company. It's that simple. Like, you know, like if you have to be able to give up some part of the pie for them to eat as well in other ways.
Right.
Some people get equity. Some people get shares of the company. Some people get an ROI. If they, you know, if they invest $100,000, they'll get $150,000 by the end of the year. Like something like that. There's different ways to skin a cat when it comes to making sure that your people that are investing into your business and you're making them business partners, they have to make it worthwhile for themselves.
Yeah. That is so good. Yeah. I think what you said is what it is. I'm going to leave it at that. If y'all are trying to jump into this business, you have to jump into any business. Let's be clear. You have to give people an incentive to want to stay and do what maybe you're not that great at doing. And also being able to give a portion of your business up, because some people like to be a little bit of a control freak, you know, and want to have their hand in every single thing. Mm-hmm. Not saying that you don't know what's going on in those parts of the business, but you have to be able to give it to somebody that you trust. Trust is a big thing in any business, So do you believe you have to be in a major city to have big clients?
For the concierge?
Yeah. Or hosting?
That's a loaded question, because you can possibly be in the state of Delaware and do some type of hosting or do some type of event planning, but you have to be able to know like your city, like the back of your hand, to see what the city has to offer. So I don't know. Maybe there's in Delaware. I don't know. Are there rivers in Delaware? I have no idea. Let's say Salt Lake City, Utah, right? Even though that's probably a more attractive city than the state of Delaware. as far as maybe there's probably kayaking, there's camping, there's hiking. So whatever city that you are in, as far as like you say, if you want to be a host in Salt Lake City or like, you know, the state of Delaware, or if you, I don't know, if you want to be in Montana, you have to find out what is actually attractive to people who want to go to that destination.
Yeah.
So for instance, like Miami, the cars, the yachts, the mansions, the lifestyle, the beaches, the clubs, the strip club as well too. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, a lot of people come here for that, but I'm not going to be able to market that in Montana, if that makes sense. Like, I'm because there's no beaches in Montana. There's no beaches in Montana. So it's like, so if you want to be a host in Montana, maybe there's some type of, I don't know, farming adventure that you can do for people and you can do it like that. So
that makes sense. I don't know what are in those states, but maybe if you're in a state that has like vineyards or, you know, attractive like snow, snowboarding, sled. Okay. So that makes sense. You have to appeal to what your audience would like in that, and to receive big clients, because you know there are a lot of celebrity or people who are not celebrity but behind the scene who have big money that go to those places. So maybe you develop a market where they trust that you can develop that itinerary, because that's a part of your business as well. You develop
itinerary. We're in BES is actually in over 40 locations throughout the world.
Wow.
So, so we have to be able to cater to different types of clientele for different type of activities for the locations. So the same things that we would probably, like for instance, like Monaco. Monaco is really, 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 Monaco is the richest and wealthiest place and the most, and the densest as far as how many billionaires that have yachts, like per capita, if that makes sense. So as far as like, you know, Monaco, it's all about the multi-million dollar yachts and see how you can cater to those type of clients.
You know
what I'm saying? Like, you know, Europe, you know, they're really big on Euro trips, on going to different countries. You know, like Miami, it's not really like that because, you know, it's just Miami. So you have to be able to cater to clients in certain different ways, if that makes sense.
So you have business partners in those 40 different locations?
Yes. For 30. Yes. Yeah,
well, that, so just to name, go ahead.
I said, just name a few. So we're based in Miami, DC, LA, Atlanta, New York, Las Vegas, San Fran, San Diego, Atlanta, Dubai, Mykonos, San Tropez, Barcelona, Turks and Caicos, Costa Rica, Maldives, Tanzania, Zanzibar, Tanzania as well too. We're starting to work in, starting to work on partners right now for Ghana as well.
Wow.
And come on, Africa. Say what?
I said, come on, Africa.
No, of course. Hey, listen. And honestly, yo, shout out to my guy, Hans and Khalifa, that handle and take care of my clients in Zanzibar. They are incredible.
That's awesome. That is so awesome. Do you get to travel a lot, or do you just allow those people to handle that?
It depends. So like, you know, I like to travel. I really do. If my clients, cause I actually do, you know, serve clients outside of Miami as well too, if they want me to travel with them. But, if they don't want me to, if I can't, you know, I'll just be able to refer them to my partners, and it's just a seamless, you know, only the best, experience.
That is what is up. So how do you manage everything that you currently have going on? Like, you have all of these different locations, and then you have, you know, podcasts, and you have your media, you know, how do you manage all of that?
By delegation.
I guess,
delegation.
I guess
delegation, 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 and having big, big trust within the people who I delegate to, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I have partners in all my companies, you know, want to give him a shout out as well too. So Trey Grant is my COO of Bishop Executive Services. Lamont Somerset is my CFO as well too, a BES. Imar Grant is my COO for VCB Media. Jaden McKean, he's also my business partner for my personal brand, our consulting company. and our entertainment company as well too, where we actually just started. So he's the CEO of VCB Entertainment for that. And yeah, I mean, I believe that's
okay, y'all. Y'all have gotten the secret sauce on this episode. The secret sauce is mastering the art of delegation. If you want to have your in multiple pods, if you want to provide yourself a steady stream of income, master the art of delegation, and you can have it in whatever area you are in. So I believe that perspective is everything, right? Ultimately, it's asking yourself what mindset shift you are going to make to change your life. So I want to ask you, what mindset shift are you currently making or that you had to make previously to change your life?
Discipline. I had to implement discipline this year. Okay. I'm going on 48 days without smoking or drinking.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah. That's yeah. And that transitions into everything else too, as far as your business, as far as like your mental, your spiritual, your physical, and then into your business as well too. Now when people find out that I don't drink anymore, they're like, hey, how do you have a concierge company and you host all these clients and you take care of them, you make sure I have a good time and you don't drink? Mm-hmm. Well, it actually has brought my attention of awareness and attention to detail to a whole new level, because when I do host clients, I don't host clients for me. I host clients for them.
Yeah,
I'm having fun, but the way I'm having fun is for them to have fun. So for me to make sure that they actually have fun, I got to be on my P's and Q's no matter what. Mm-hmm. And yes, you know, before then I was taking one drink, maybe two drinks, but just one drink, you're basically one drink away from actually taking that experience away from them, as far as focusing and making sure that they're taking care of it all the time with a sober mind. There's so many people, and that's our promoters and hosts there, that literally get plastered and belligerent with their clients. And no judgment, yo, you can do what you do. But for me, that is very, very unprofessional, honestly. And what you're doing is you're getting high off your own supply. And you can't do that when you're in that type of business.
Yeah. That's good. You can't get high off of your own supply. Y'all, he's dropping gems in this episode. And it's not even, I don't even feel like it's like intentional gems. It's just like conversational, just random. If you just take a listen, I need y'all to rewind, go back if you haven't, and write down the things that he's saying, because it is imperative in multiple different avenues, not just in concierge or in hospitality. It's in many different avenues that you could take this information and use it. Don't get high off your own supply. Have a level of discipline that allows you to be more intentional in how you run your business. That's good. That actually goes into my next question. What does passion and what does purpose mean to you?
So I'll start with purpose. Purpose is something that automatically gets you up from bed during, you know, when you wake up. Mm-hmm. Something that makes you not think about the trials and tribulations, or make you think about the transgressions you're actually going through with your business.
Right.
But it makes you overcome those things by trying to be successful. You know, whether if you have like a family, if you got kids, if you got a wife, if you got a husband, if you got a tribe like me, I have a whole entire tribe that I have to take care of, you know?
Right.
That is my purpose, to basically take care of them and to make sure they're good, because they believe in me. So since they believe in me, I have to come through and take care of them. So that's my purpose as well too. Serving people is also my purpose as well.
Yeah.
But it's also my passion. So serving people is definitely my passion, as far as like really being hospitable and just catering to people. And, you know, whenever I take care of people throughout the weekend, and, you know, I set them up with like, you know, the best experience, the best itineraries, the best yachts, the best restaurants, private security, everything, and curating all that where they only have to literally just pay the bill and sit back and relax and just flow. Like, that's something I'm very, very passionate about. So when they're happy, you know, that fulfills me as well too.
That's amazing. I'm glad that your purpose and your passion can align, because sometimes people's purpose and their passion don't align. Your purpose is serving people. So now your passion can fall in line with it, and you can serve people at the highest level in all of your different locations, of course. I didn't get a chance to ask you this earlier, but what is one of your, if you don't mind me getting into your business a little bit,
That's fine.
One of your most expensive clients, or have most celebrity, I guess I would say, clients?
So I can't name his name, but I would say that the most expensive trip I've ever catered to somebody for, I actually hosted, was he spent probably close to about $250,000 for the weekend. about a quarter mil, a give or take, I believe. That weekend was crazy. It was actually his first time here in Miami, and we brought up the whole entire red carpet for him. And from the services that he got, the places that he went, you know, what he spent and everything else too. It was well spent as well, because he was spending it on you know, his family and stuff. So, you know, when it comes to that, man, you know, it doesn't matter how much money it is, you know, like, if you're able to spend the money on that, like, on them, like, that's what matters. You know what I'm saying? Because why the hell are you going to, you can't take it with you. Yeah, so that's you know, true. So yeah, it was about $250,000. Yeah.
So when you had your first big amount come through your business, how did that make you feel? Like, you were like, you knew this could happen, or you were in expectancy of it happening, or were you in complete shock?
I was definitely shocked as far as how much money he spent, honestly, and then the services that he got. Like, that was actually my highest ticket, honestly. Off of that alone, as far as services, we're probably talking about maybe $50,000-$60,000 just for the business services. So that's what we took in, basically.
Right.
Obviously, there's expenses, you know, for people who work and everything else too, but that was our biggest single transaction as far as like how much money we made all together in one swoop. Honestly, it was a shock, but like, you know what? Like, I worked damn near almost over a decade for this.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm like, okay, cool. This is great. I'm happy. But what's next? Now it's time for $100,000 wire.
Yeah, yeah.
$100,000 wire. $300,000 wire. $1 million wire.
Yeah. You know?
So I think
I can't wait for that to happen for you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Same here for you. I really do believe that the less that you are scared of money, then the more the money will come to you. I think especially as far as like with us black people, like, you know, we get kind of like afraid when it comes to like that type of money, and like, oh my God, like, you know, like when I told my aunt that I made $50,000 in one weekend, like, she almost dropped to her freaking head. She was like, wait, what? Like, how did you make 50 grand in one weekend? I don't even, I made that almost in a year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But then
that's most people's reality. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. But then the great thing is that like, once you have that, it's like this, it's like when you make your first million, that's the hardest to make. Mm. But once you make that million, making the second million is going to be easier. So me making a $50,000 in one weekend, that was hard as hell.
Yeah.
But now I know how to get it. And now to get the second $50,000, or maybe 100, 150, 200 plus, is going to be easier, because I know how to get to that 50.
Yes.
So we as Black people need to honestly deconstruct that mindset of being afraid of making money and being afraid of accepting it and being comfortable with it, so more money can come to us.
That is so good. I'm telling you, don't be afraid. I think, our fear is what is pushing the money away. If you aren't afraid to make it, the money will come. The money will come. So we're wrapping up here. But I feel that it's important for me to ask each guest that comes on this question, because I believe it could be imperative to helping someone that is listening. What has been an unfair advantage, something that has happened in the progression of you leveling up that was an advantage for you, but for someone looking on the outside, they wouldn't have achieved it because the advantage that you had was curated specifically for you? In other words, your favor not being fair.
Oh, me being the walking icebreaker, me being 6'11", 340.
Yeah.
Like, that's That goes without saying. I know for sure that I'm blessed to have the size, and I definitely play, you know, college basketball, semi-pro and everything else too, but I'm using my height in different ways.
Yeah.
And I know for sure every single time, you know, like you met me, you know, like when I met you at the podcast summit, what was the first thing you saw about me? Was my height.
Yeah. You look like, oh my God.
And me being, and me being a large human being. So I use that to my advantage because I use that as being a walking icebreaker, as people gravitating towards me. But hey, how tall are you? Do you play football? Do you play basketball? No, I don't. But I'm a luxury concierge. So here's my card. Please let me know if you need anything. So from the outside looking in, trust me, there's a lot of people that be hating, but it's cool. But the one thing I would say is that if you're not 6'11", 340, find out within your wheelhouse what makes you unique. And that's actually transitions to something I'm actually doing, I'm working on right now. I'm working on a networking panel, fireside chat in September. And what we're doing is we're teaching people how to network before, during, and after when you network. And one of the things I'm going to teach is, what is your avatar? Like, what is your niche? Yeah. What is something that makes you stand out from everybody else? I know what my niche is, or what my gravitation is me being tall and me being big, but it may not be that for you. But what is it for you that makes you stand out from the rest, so people can want to do business and to network with you? So yeah,
that's good. Y'all be on the lookout for that, because I feel like a lot of people are not privy to what their app, who they're speaking to, so who their avatar is. So you guys need to tap in with that. That's good. So you said the fireside chat is what you have coming up, but what else do you have coming up next for yourself?
So I'm working on a ebook, the top places in Miami to go to and how to dress for them. Gonna be working on that. Yeah, that's actually very, very important. You know?
So the
top restaurants and lounges, that'll be coming out in September. Just gonna be like, you know, a lead generation, nurture magnet, I should say, for people to come in. And I got that. I'm working on that. I also have this shirt right here that I don't know if I met you when I was wearing this shirt. Non-negotiable. Yeah. So we're coming out with marvelbishop.com. Which is going to be my personal website.
Okay.
We're going to be coming out with merch. So we're going to be coming out with a couple. Yeah. So a couple of, my jewelry is not, it's acting up now. A couple of different types of merchandise. So we're going to come out with a shirt. We're going to come out with another design too, as well as other than the non-negotiable, and a couple posters just to start out to elevate the Marvel Bishop brand. So.
Hey, that's what is up, y'all. Stay connected with everything that he's doing, because I'm telling you, this man is on the rise. Obviously, he is successful in the lane that he is in already, but if you haven't tapped in, I need y'all to do that right now. If you could leave my audience with one thing, what would you say?
So I always say this, when there's a will, there's a way.
Okay.
And one is always better than zero. That's one of my mantras as well. No matter what you're going through in life, man, doesn't matter. I'm actually going through a couple personal things right now that's kind of altering some things. Mm-hmm. But for me to have the mindset and to keep my discipline, I always have to make sure that don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what happened in the past. Just worry about today and see what you can accomplish. And if you can accomplish that one thing, that one thing is greater than nothing. That one thing that one thing that you're accomplishing is better than accomplishing nothing. So one is always better. So one is always better than zero.
That is so good. Where can the people find you?
So you guys can find me on IG, Threads, Twitter at Marvel Bishop. My company, Bishop Executive Services, bishopexecservices.com. And my media company, vcbmedia.com as well. I have a YouTube channel, Marvel Bishop TV, where I have a show where I talk about with people of nightlife, hospitality, and entertainment. Mm-hmm. And if you guys are interested in the ebook, or if you guys are interested in finding out more information about Miami to experience the best experience in Miami, please DM me Miami at Instagram. I'd love to work with you. Only the best.
Yes, that is what's up. That is what's up, Marvel. I am so thankful that you were able to come on the show today and give your knowledge and give the gems that you've given. Guys, like I said before in the episode, if you didn't catch everything he said, I would strongly encourage you to rewind, pause, go back, whatever you have to do to catch the gems that he dropped, because it's not just in concierge or hospitality or hosting. It's definitely for anything. Like, I could use some of the things that he said for podcasting. I'm happy. Yeah, it's not about, sometimes it's not about what you know. It's about who you know, and who you know can give you some of the things that you could say, oh, now I know this. But yeah, Marvel, I enjoyed this conversation more than you could ever know. I would say keep your perspective, because it definitely looks good on you. Guys, we are coming out with more episodes with several different special guests. Please stay tuned for everything that we have in store, because it's going up from here. If y'all haven't already, go follow me on Instagram at Dashari. Go follow It's a Perspective on Instagram as well. I love y'all. Have a great day, a great week, or whenever you're listening to this. Catch y'all on the next episode. Bye.